You are listening to the Men's Ministry Roundtable. We are a ministry of Christian Assembly Church in Los Angeles, California. I'm your host, Marvin Enriquez, and this is How We Get Down.
Well, good morning, and welcome back to episode number four of the... Episode number four of the Men's Ministry Roundtable Podcast. Today is July 11th, 2019.
It is Slurpee Day.
It is 7-Eleven, Sean, so yes. That means you get...
free Slurpees from 11 a.m. till 7 p.m. at your local 7-Eleven. So
that's the
give yourself a little extra time, because last year I went and there was about 30 people deep in line, so...
this podcast is now brought to you by 7-Eleven. Around the round table, I have George Fernandez.
Woo! You look so young, clean shaven today.
Thank you.
Look at that.
I shaved just for you, baby.
Wow.
Yeah. I knew we were going to be in close quarters, so I figured you'd want to
press
up close to the cheek.
I didn't get the memo.
You didn't get the memo? It's fine.
Throw some over here.
Also around the table, the new voice that you hear is Mr. Sean Strovas.
Thanks for having me.
Is he pinching for someone today?
Sean, no. Sean's an invited guest on the Men's Ministry Roundtable today, and he's got some great stuff to share, which we'll get to in a little bit. And also around the table is Robert Concepcion.
Hey, so glad to be here.
Oh, yeah. Actually, Robert is literally walking in the room as we speak. It is 9:15. We were supposed to start recording at 9 o'clock, and he's still dancing.
And he's got coffee
And he's got coffee in his hand. Robert, sit down and say hello to
all of us.
Robert, sit down and say hello to our 12 listeners.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, as an important update, you guys, we hit 300 listeners this week.
Woo!
Man. That's amazing.
That is something.
What are you telling your wife, George?
We got to get 300, so just hit play 300 times.
Yeah. So your wife is just hitting play. Then you have your son hitting play.
But we're going to have 301 now.
Unfortunately, we don't track unique listeners, so that probably means that George's wife listened
to 300.
287.
Just leave it at that. Just 300.
We actually have Kids Church in on it. So
yes.
Kids Church is just pressing the buttons for us.
So while you guys drop your kids off at Kids Church, we have them on the computer pressing play.
That's what's happening.
All the kids that you see with an iPad and a phone, they're actually
listening to the message. Thank you guys. To those of you guys that are listening and are out there, thanks for doing that. If you hit that subscribe button, you'll get alerts every time a new episode comes out. What are you doing with those glasses, bro?
Those aren't even glasses. They're like little mini... Where are the legs?
You look like an 80-year-old Filipino man.
Didn't you read that when you were doing announcements?
No, absolutely not.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Would you please put those on?
Robert has these little glasses that popped out of his keychain, and they look and they sit on the bottom of his nose. They look like he's some kind of old.
Dude, don't be a hater here. This is actually one of those spectacles you just use for like a menu in a restaurant, a grocery store. You don't have to I don't have to wear the glasses like you do all the time, right? When I need it, I just break it out.
Because he's
so
young.
That's what happens when you get older?
Yes. I'm not saying.
New idea at a restaurant, sometimes the lighting is bad. So if you get a little fluorescent, little light on there.
So when you
flip them open, bam, there's a light that comes on. Like
the coal miner's like,
hey, I'm telling you, that's amazing.
Who invited this guy?
I like him. You know what he said? He goes, let's start, because every time I play golf with Robert, I always tell him 8:45 so that we can start at 9 o'clock. So next time that we record, we're gonna start at 8:45.
Did you keep switching the venue? Now we're room 20.
Fancy.
You know?
And look at the tablecloth. Look at this.
With the tablecloth. The other week was where?
Your office. George's office.
No, it was Cheryl's office.
Oh, we did Cheryl's office.
Yeah, just keep moving around.
Well, that's how
we're expanding. We need more room. Look at us. We're expanding.
We have 300 listeners. This is becoming a real thing. We have real microphones.
We need a stadium.
With real cables that plug into my phone. If you guys were to see our setup, it's really, really elementary.
Live audience to come.
Hey, so
it's hilarious.
This week, you guys, George and I took our wives to dinner. We had a nice steak dinner with Sandra and Lisa. And
Lisa, steak?
What's that?
They chose
steak. No, we chose steak.
Oh, okay. That's not what you said, but
we're not that thoughtful.
they went along for the ride. But they were happy to be with us, I suppose.
Absolutely.
Center was happy.
Absolutely.
But one of the things that came up in our conversation was the best prank of all time. And Lisa reminded me of the best prank that has ever happened in the history of pranks. So I want to tell you guys about this prank. But before that, I want to ask you guys, what is the best prank that you've ever been associated with?
Let's back it up a little bit. Why were you at the steakhouse and we weren't invited, buddy? Was it like your birthday or something?
It was my birthday, yeah.
All right, man. Happy birthday. Hey, look, this table here has three birthday boys.
That's right. Sean's birthday was yesterday.
My birthday was the day before yesterday.
Happy birthday, Sean.
Thank you.
July 9th. Mine was June 30th.
And mine is coming up on Saturday.
Okay. July 13th.
But we're not doing steak for you.
Oh, well, you know, I'm doing better, so it's all right.
Lobster. Lobster it is.
Luck in the country club.
Yes, yes. He's going to go to the country club.
Merrill Monday. There you go.
Awesome. Well, happy birthday in advance, Robert.
Thank you. What's the best
prank you guys have been associated with?
I've been prepared for this, so
great.
I'm going to go ahead and jump in,
Sean.
Were you the victim or were you the perpetrator?
I was a perpetrator.
Oh, I love it.
And let's just say that the victim was someone that we work with here at CA.
Oh, even better.
I cannot divulge too much information, but
Does it rhyme with Shram Huge?
No. No, it rhymes with Cheryl Fletcher.
Oh, all right.
Even better.
So just to give a little detail background, every year there is a ornament exchange amongst the women at our church, and it's a big deal amongst those leaders. They want to pick and get the best ornament, and usually there's a prize for the best ornament at the end of the night.
Wow. Well, so these are Christmas ornaments.
It's Christmas ornaments, yes. And so in this particular evening...
What other ornaments are there?
I don't know.
Keep it clean, Marvin.
Thank you.
Keep it clean.
I'm just clarifying for
us. I wish everyone could see the picture that Marvin has right now.
I need as much help as I can get.
It's PG, man.
Bro, there could be 4th of July ornaments.
Don't hang out a dream.
There could be Thanksgiving...
You keep McQueen too, George.
Sean. Tell us about the picture.
Let me bring it back here. So the coveted ornament for this evening was a pig with wings.
What?
And there was a sleight of hand kidnapping, ransom, and then return of the pig on Christmas Eve. And I was guilty by association. I can't give too many details, but let's just say the person that I'm married to was highly involved.
So the person that you married to stole the pig.
Yes.
From Cheryl
Flesher. The blind pig.
Flesher. We don't know who that is, but she works at CA apparently.
Yes, there were multiple other accomplices that were a part of taking pictures and sending ransom notes, videos.
I remember seeing the pictures, yeah.
Okay.
And then Mission Impossible'd the pig back.
On Christmas Eve.
At Christmas Eve.
All right. So you were like Santa. You climbed in her chimney.
There was a Christmas tree on the front porch.
Wait, what?
I had to crawl up the driveway, stealth mode, and replace the ornament on the tree for Christmas.
Nice.
Yes. You're stuck in the house.
No, I was outside.
He
was
the house.
We've established that he did not break and enter.
It was late at night.
Cut the
I was worried
the
that the neighbors are going to be like, call the cops on me.
And your ski mask was on?
No.
Okay.
No.
Hey, what about you, Robert? Any pranks that you've ever been a part of?
No, thank God. But you know,
thank God.
Well, you know what?
Come on. That's like a rite of passage. Thank God.
The prank that you pulled on George was an all-time. I don't think anyone can beat that.
I think best of all time. George, would you say?
I mean, because, you know,
it was good.
The whole church got involved, dude.
All right, so the setup for this is the first time I ever preached at Christian Assembly, the very first time. I'm getting up there, and I'm nervous, as you can imagine, and I'm getting through, and I get about a third away into my sermon, and I'm flipping through my notes pages, and the third page, instead of it being my notes, was a picture of me holding baby LeBron James in my hand, I guess a picture he had ripped off of my Facebook page, and he stuck LeBron James's face on a baby. And so you can imagine my shock on a Saturday night as I'm looking out at the audience and there's this picture of LeBron James sitting in my lap. So in the back of my head, I tucked that away and I said, I'm gonna get you back.
Did that wrap?
Just so you know, he handled it like a pro. I was there that Saturday night and I didn't even see
anything. He just moved the page to the side.
It was like the Holy Spirit had put a filter over his eyes to move forward.
So I moved forward. And it didn't just, if you were there that night, you probably didn't notice it. But anyway.
Wait. What was George expecting if there's a reaction?
I don't know. What were you expecting me to do?
I don't know. I was just hoping to just relieve some of your stress.
Sure.
Because you were
in the middle of them. You're in the middle of them.
Just so you know.
Yeah. That's just a great way to do that, buddy.
Sandra was aware of this.
Oh, yeah, doesn't mean she was okay with it. No, she was just aware.
I know, because I said, should I remove it beforehand? She's nah, he's a big boy. He can
apparently not. Well, because the comeback. There's the comeback.
And I would have said something that night, and I would have actually shown it, but I also was reminded that we record the Saturday night service, so I had to keep it as clean as possible for the next day. And so I didn't say anything in the moment, but I took that away in the back of my mind. A few weeks later, we had the president of Foursquare, of our denomination, come and be a part of our staff meeting. His name is Glenn Burris, and he and George sat with him, and you guys talked about who knows what. But after you guys talked, you came over to us, I think Robert and I were there, and you're like, he just invited me to speak. And I'm like, oh, that's great. He's like, no, I'm just messing with you guys. I'm like, okay. I took that away in the back of my mind. I put all these pieces together.
The seed was planted.
So this is what I. So what I did was I created a fake email address.
Wait, because you used to work for Glenn.
I used to work for Glenn.
That's why you know how to work.
Well, I mean, it's Gmail, bro. It's not that. Okay. It's not that hard. It's not that hard.
It's because he's evil.
Well, so I went on Gmail and I did a glenn.burris.foursquare@gmail.com instead of the tradition, but it looked close enough to
where you don't see the whole thing. You just see at Foursquare.
And then I wrote an email inviting George to speak at the next Foursquare conference, and I sent that to you. And what happened when you received that email?
I threw it away. No, I was like shocked. So then I forwarded it to Tom.
No.
Before you said Tom, what did you do?
Yeah, what did you do before you forwarded it to Tom?
Oh, I told Lisa, and then
you were excited.
I was excited and a little nervous. So I went to the park to go pray about it.
The park?
I literally went to the park. I told Lisa, I said I need to just go spend some time with God, and you know. So I thought that I would be overwhelmed.
Was this the Garden of Gethsemane? Which garden did you go to?
Because I know sweat and blood.
Because I know you contemplated deeply on this, and you even told me that, hey, man, this is something that's
no.
Really
initially,
an honor.
Initially, I thought that I would be really nervous, but for whatever reason, I wasn't. I was kind of calm. I said, "Well, God, this is what you want me to do.
So I'll greatly
serve you." And then
in that, you included Tom in the.
So then I forwarded the email to Tom. And Tom had like no idea that you were this evil, and he says, "Wow, that is awesome. That is." He says, "I'm not surprised."
So the major mistake I made in this prank was not including Tom in on it, because this is when things got sideways.
And that's when you hear the sirens.
Yes. So Tom wanted to verify.
So Tom and I were going back for with dialogue. And he said, "It's great. What are you going to talk about? This and that." And we just kind of settled on some topic. And then he emailed Glenn, right?
Yes.
The real Glenn Burris.
The real Glenn Burris.
Not the real Glenn Burris. Please stand up.
So then Glenn says, "Oh, that's great, but I don't have as a speaker on this." And then Tom says, "Well, I have an email from you." And he goes, "Why don't you send it to me?" And the real
president of Foursquare gets my fishy email with the fake email address that I created.
And he says, let me get down to the bottom of this.
Let me send my security team.
We're having some IT issues and..."
So he sends it to their IT person to track it down. So now they think I'm some kind of Russian
that was involved in the election.
No. See,
wasn't there a phone call that happened too that Tom called you and you said
no? Well, first George called me And I thought, okay, he's trying to flesh something out. So he called me. I'm driving in the car. And he says, was that you? And I'm like, no, it wasn't me. And I try
evil,
to,
evil squirt.
And I try, yeah. I try to play it off. And Sandra's in the car next to me, like hitting me with her elbow saying, you better come clean. Because I had told her what we did. And then, but I didn't come clean. And he goes, well, if you did.
As usual.
Well, yeah. But he said, but if you did, you're in real trouble because Tom forwarded to the IT person. And I'm like, no, he's bluffing. He's got to be bluffing. Sure enough, about 2 minutes later, I get a call from Tom. He's like, dude, did you do this? And I'm like, yes. He's like, we just sent it to the real president. You're in real trouble. I'm like, oh, man. So backfired pranks right there, huh?
Play with the boy. No, but you wore a crown.
Yeah, so at our staff meeting, Tom brought me a Burger King crown, and he crowned me the king of pranks.
Oh, that man. Was excellent.
Good times, good times.
It was a good reminder, too, of... not to push things too far.
Or to include the people that you're incriminating.
Yes.
Include them, and then it'll be okay.
Cover your bases.
Cover your bases.
Stay tuned for the comeback from George.
Yeah, so, it's coming. I know it's coming. I've braced myself. I know it's coming. When he invited me to steak, I'm like, this is fishy. What's about this?
I see what you did there. Yeah.
So, George, what's happening in the world, man? It's news and finances.
What I wanted to talk about today, it's so weird to now shift to seriousness.
Yeah.
So
we go back and well, it doesn't have to be serious.
Do we have to be serious?
Funny news.
No. Yeah, money's funny. Hey, that rhymes. I wanted to just talk about the difference, as I've been having a lot of conversations with you, between savings and investing. Mm-hmm. Because those terms get changed. You know, or used interchangeably, and they're really not. So I just really want to explain the difference. So when you want to save for something that's short term, then the way you handle it is a lot different than when you're investing. So for example, if the plan is I'm saving to buy a car, or I'm saving to make a large purchase in the near term. For me, near term would be like 5 years or less. Then you're treating that money as the principal cannot change, meaning the amount that you're putting away cannot go down. So the goal of short-term saving is, first idea, it is short-term, and the principal is being protected. It's not going down. So that would be something you put in a money market account, a CD, a T-bill, something that's only tied up for a short period of time that you have access to within the period you need it. So the goal is, if you're putting away $1,000, $2,000, $5,000, whatever that number is, at the end of the time period when you need it, you're certain that that amount will be available. It may be worth a little bit more, but it can't be worth any less. Investing, on the other hand, the goal is for the principal to increase. It's not for the principal to maintain, it's for the principal to increase. And that would be something, for example, like retirement. So if you have money in your 401k, your 403b, your IRA, whatever it is, the goal is when you need that money, the value is significantly more than what you put in. So you treat the allocation of the assets differently. You probably wouldn't have it all in a money market or a T-bill or a CD, because that's paying you kind of a short interest rate, a small interest rate. So those terms many times are used interchangeably. They shouldn't be. One is for short-term purposes, one is for long term, one is you're trying to keep the principal protected, one is the goal is you're trying to increase the principal, one is used for investing purposes. You have to then probably see a professional or talk to someone in terms of how you invest your money, and the other one you could probably do by yourself.
So a question for you, you've been talking about on this podcast about your golden rule for your income percentages, right? 75, 10, and 15 is what you've given the guys.
Yeah.
Okay, 75% you live on, 10% is for the Lord, 15% is for, you've called it savings, but...
Retirement.
Retirement. So that's the distinction I wanna make. So a lot of us will think, I'm saving for a house, I'm saving for my kids' college, I'm saving for whatever. Is that 15% or
great,
no?
Great question. 15% is your retirement. That is not your...
Your
retirement is your retirement.
This is not my kids' college fund.
No, okay. That's when you're
so that would come out. So those things would come out of the 75.
That's correct.
Okay.
So if you're saving for a house, you're saving for a car, you're saving...
Well, not emergency fund out of the 75%, right?
That's correct. That's correct. But that's it's really just like a one-time allocation. trying to put $1,000 away, and you just keep it there. And that $1,000 is not an investment, it's short term, because you want to always have that $1,000.
So this
you're
is
not trying to turn the $1,000 into $3,000.
Yeah, and, this is not like, you know, my parents always said, you have to have 3 months of, you know, emergency somewhere stashed away. I mean, that's not what you're talking about.
No, so to answer your question, which was a good question, the 15%, which we talk about, is your retirement. Because if you don't put that money away on an annual basis, by the time you reach retirement, you'll probably be short. So that's why that's strictly retirement. That's not college savings. That's not car savings. That's not a house savings. All those other amounts come from your 75%. The 15% is a separate bucket strictly for retirement. Just like the 10% we give back to God is a separate bucket. Nothing else comes from
deviation. Great. Yep. If you guys want more information, you can always reach out to George. In fact, you're doing a seminar next week at VBS.
Two weeks. Yeah, it's
the week of VBS, you're doing a savings seminar?
Well, it's basically three buckets. It's trying to teach parents how to be good stewards, and so they can teach their kids. And I'm calling it three buckets: give, save, live. And we'll talk about those things.
So if you have some kids and you want to teach them some savings principles, that'd be a good thing to check into. Otherwise, George has had different seminars coming up in the fall as well. Or you can always make an individual appointment to talk to George.
Where is that seminar going to be on our campus?
I think it's going to be room 30, and it's on the 23rd of July. And the announcements have been mentioning it for VBS. I think there's two seminars.
Right.
And that's one of them. So
great.
That's awesome, George.
Well, thanks for that information. Shifting gears to the world of sports.
Come on.
First of all, I just want to say the U.S. women's national team won the World Cup this week. And I think that was a pretty significant deal. You guys watch any of the World Cup?
I did. I have nieces that are big soccer fans and soccer players and so on. And I played soccer in college and high school. So I watched a lot of it, and it was great.
It's fun to watch. It's fun. I like soccer a lot, but I like women's soccer in that you don't see a lot of the flopping that you see in the men's.
Right.
I mean, man, that is kind of ridiculous with the men. So it's a cleaner.
Although
I did see some. Some. It's starting to trickle in. I did see that in this World Cup, where in the past it was very clean. I did see some of that started to trickle in.
Right.
And that's, but you know, you look at these pro guys and that's what they're doing.
Right.
It only makes sense that the younger generation starts to mimic. Because I see it, you know, my kids play club soccer.
Right.
I see the little kids flopping and I'm like, come on guys, let's not, you know, this is Little League, you know, let's not do all that. But anyway.
I heard an announcer, I don't follow soccer, I'm American. And they said that they wish.
Did you say I'm American? We have the best team in the world, by the way.
No, they said they wish that the men's soccer team played as aggressively as a women.
Oh, so do I.
Is that true?
Well, I don't know if they. I don't know.
They said the women played.
I don't know
very
if it's a lack of aggressivity. I don't know. I mean, just
a word.
I don't know. I just made it up.
Aggression. That's maybe.
Aggression.
That's maybe a
aggressivity.
Word.
Aggressivity.
Aggressivity.
Aggressivity. Aggression. You know.
There's passivity, but there's not aggressivity.
I mean,
this is why you're not preaching more on Sunday.
Yeah.
Can I make a? Ooh,
wow.
Maybe it's because I have. Things put in my notes. That's why I'm not preaching more.
I think it's interesting the difference between women's and men's soccer. I mean, obviously, the game is strategic on both ways, but the speed in which it's played, you know, we saw several like head-on-head collisions during the women's event. That the women came out, there was, you know, blood, but then some of them came back into the game. Where I've seen, you know, collisions like that on men's where they didn't flop, where they were done, didn't even come back. And, you know, it's just, I think it's the speed of the game.
It's just like watching hockey in a bigger field.
Yeah.
Nothing like it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know. The aggressivity is there.
The aggressivity is there.
The only difference is you can see the ball, whereas in hockey you can't see the puck at all you're there.
You could say that the women have benefited from a strong, you know, youth league developmental programs, but the guys do too. I mean, boys, we have strong youth development programs too. I don't know why it hasn't translated on the world stage yet.
Right.
I'm waiting for that. I would love to see the men's team make a good significant run at some
point. It's been years, right?
Yeah. When's the last time the men's World Cup? They didn't even make the World Cup the last time around.
Well, when's the last time? I played with two of the guys that actually were on the men's USA World Cup team when they won the World Cup. But
they've never won the World Cup.
Well, weren't they in the finals?
They've been as far as the quarterfinals. Yeah. They've never even made the semifinals.
Oh.
No, they've never had a good World Cup run. They've won other tournaments, but not the World Cup.
Got it.
Tougher competition.
One of the reasons I wanted Sean on here is because Dodgers hit the All-Star, well, the Major League Baseball hit the All-Star break this week, and we're both super diehard Dodger fans. And
let's go Dodgers.
What's your mid-season report, Sean? What's going on at the break?
I have to say that, I'm very proud of the team in the fact that this is our third year trying to get back to the World Series. We have now some KG veterans and a nice little mix of some young guys that are still learning but have been tested through the fire of losing in the World Series. So it's going to be it's a good year where we're at right now. I'm pretty happy about the fact we were just talking about that we brought up four rookies over the last probably month. Yeah. And they have started, they have contributed. And so that's a really good thing, so that we're having our veteran guys like Pollock and
The last few years we've had we've had Bellinger, well before that Seager and Muncy. Who's your breakout young player this year?
Verdugo.
Yeah, right.
By far. I mean, some of his antics are a little bit like Puig's, where I just kind of wish that he would just stop that.
He's a little thuggish, but he's fun to watch.
His at plate, persistence, his patience, the swing is just
He's not a home run hitter, but he knows how to.
He's 22.
He's 20. Yeah, he's young. He knows how to spray the ball.
Drafted from where?
He brought him up through the Dodgers farm system. Mm.
Wow. He knows how to use all parts of the field. He was consistently batting 300. I think he's just dipped below that now, but he's a great part of this team. And I mean, he's got, he's colorful. He's a colorful guy for sure.
Yes.
What's your pitching like this year?
Starting pitching is great this year. Bullpen is suspect, but it has been, and it's different than.
But what team in the Major League Baseball doesn't have a suspect bullpen? That's the problem, right?
Yeah. The argument is: are they juicy baseballs? Are they not juicy baseballs? Are they trying to make the game a little bit more exciting by making it more score? The elevating the scores of the games. I don't know. One thing I do know is
based on that home run derby, though.
Based on the home run derby,
there were some juice balls at that. Yeah.
Based on the amount of runs that are being scored throughout the league, it's a fun time to be a baseball fan. It's exciting. Yeah. So
unless you're a pitcher,
And even as a pitcher though, you have to admit, like, pitchers now are not being they're not being demanded like they used to be to pitch. Like, starting pitchers aren't being demanded to throw 120, 130 pitches a game. They're pitching 5 innings, maybe 80 pitches.
And if you have a sub, if you have a sub 4 ERA, you're considered a star. Yeah. When I was a kid, like, your average guy had a 3.5, you're like, whatever. You were looking for somebody under 2.
Yeah.
Now it's like, if you could get it under 4, you're all right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. But it is exciting. We do share, I guess, the best record in baseball, the tied with the Yankees. Is that what you're telling us?
Yeah. No, they have the best percentage. I think the Yankees have one less loss in the loss column, but I think the Dodgers have had basically the best record the whole year.
We start the second half this weekend, and we start in Boston, and we get some reinforcements. Seager gets back, Pollock gets back, so it'll be fun to see what kind of a run we make this year, of course.
I'm just going to look at run differential, too.
I think they're number one. Is that 127?
We're number one right now in run differential. The closest to us is 116. We are at 129. So what that means is that we're beating teams at a larger clip than other teams are.
Looks like Dodgers Yankees.
Well, that would be fun. After Dodgers Red Sox last year, Dodgers Yankees would be kind of fun, too. Well, shifting gears finally
to... Wait. You can't just talk about L.A. sports without talking about what happened to L.A. Nation.
Oh, man. The Clippers and the Lakers are back on the map, baby.
Wait. Did you just call the Clippers L.A. Nation?
L.A. sports, right?
Because we've got... This is a good time to be an L.A. sports fan. This is a really good time.
This is a great time. Okay, you can't just skip over sports Dodgers.
We've talked basketball in the last few weeks, so I wanted to shift away from that. But let's be clear. This is a Laker town. Let's just be clear about that. This is not an Angel town. This is not a Clipper town. This is a Dodger Laker town.
I'll just say, Lakers and Clippers fans, this is the year to get tickets. Go together. It's going to be fun.
Go together? What do you mean? Like,
yeah, go together.
Kumbaya.
To get,
like,
Clipper fans and Laker fans, go together and watch the games. It's going to be
fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
I mean, all the games.
No. I draw the line there. I'm a Laker fan. I do not go together with Clipper fans.
Oh, come on. Now, I can say, don't go to games with Celtic fans. I get it. Go to games with
Clipper fans.
Yikes.
Taco.
It is going to be, I mean, really, you know, LA teams, LA basketball teams are the epicenter of basketball right now.
Which is really
kind of fun.
It is.
Come on.
In the West.
We have.
Well, in the East, it can't be.
On paper, we haven't played a game yet, but on paper, we have two of the stronger teams in the West. So
clearly. Yeah. I agree.
Lastly, CA, let's talk about what men's events are coming up, Robert.
Men's events. September 11th. September 11th.
Did you just karate chop?
9/11. Hold on.
Hey-ya!
Moment of silence.
No, September 11th, though.
What's happened September 11th?
Why September 11th? And didn't we not get a better date than that?
It just falls.
What do you mean better day? What better day could there be?
I mean better Wednesday. September 11th. I mean,
it's a Wednesday. We always
you just threw leadership under the bus.
Yeah,
there.
We always do the second Wednesday in September.
Well, no, I just threw Marvin because he actually schedules this.
I do. And
you do?
The first,
yeah.
I do.
So
the
this
first,
is not leadership.
The first Wednesday.
Lack of leadership.
This is just.
Could you pick like the 18th?
Wow.
Yes, of aggressivity. What is this?
Aggressive.
Yeah, where's this aggressivity coming from?
Yeah.
Hey, the first Wednesday is right after Labor Day. We're not going to use that day. The second Wednesday just happened to land on September 11th. I actually thought that's a great day. Yeah, we can do some things to honor those first responders. And
September 11th is the date for men's gathering.
Former soldier.
Yeah, men's gathering. So coming September 11th. Exciting news to share about 2020 men's retreats, you guys. Mm. We have officially signed contracts for 2 weekends next year.
Woo!
Awesome.
That is awesome.
So the goal, we had 375.
You're pumping yourself up because you're going to two of them.
Hey, I'm
pretty excited about
it. I'm excited about going to two.
I know many guys, I talked to many guys, and I'm sure there are many guys listening, that the men's retreat has become something to look forward to for
absolutely,
the year.
Absolutely.
Not just something to attend, but something to look forward to for the
year. And I'm hoping you guys are looking forward to it because we had 375 guys this year. Obviously, we were super max. We had, you know, guys everywhere.
Thanks to all the guys that stayed in the Fern Rock Cabin.
Yes, thank you guys, Fern Rock. So,
down there.
So to improve the experience, we're going to go to 2 weekends, meaning that we'll hopefully try to even it out at 200 a weekend and grow to 400. That's our goal this year. 400
Come on,
men
let's
at
do
retreat,
this.
Which is going to be exciting. It's going to be fun. And I'm excited to share with you guys who our speaker is going to be.
All right.
I know. This is breaking news.
Can I say Glenn Burke?
George
Everyone,
Fernandez.
Check your emails.
This is breaking news. We have not announced it anywhere, but Mark Pickerel will be weekends. Our very own Mark Pickerel will be speaking both weekends, which is so exciting because he has so much to share, you guys.
Right.
And so I hope you guys make plans to be with us either the last weekend of April or the first weekend of May. Write that into your calendars. Make it a point to get to Men's Retreat 2020. It's going to be a big year for us.
Yeah.
Anything else, Robert?
Apart from that, VBS is right around the corner. Just piggyback on George's seminar. Yeah, if you got kiddos before the summer's out, make sure you get them out to VBS. It's going to be an awesome event. Our whole campus is tricked out for all of the stuff that they're going to be doing. It's going to be in the weekend of the 22nd all the way to the 26th. So, if you got kids, bring them out. I'm sure they'll have fun.
Great. Well, with the last few minutes, 10 minutes or so of our time, we wanted to bring Sean in here because, I don't know if you guys have interacted much with Sean. I mean, George, you kind of share spaces with him, so you hear him a lot. But Sean, for me, is one of the most positive, energetic, joyful persons that I've had the pleasure to be around. And I know for me, that's an area that I pray and I struggle with sometimes. You know, when we talk about the fruit of the spirits, I'm often asking the Lord to fill me with gentleness, to fill me with joy, because I just feel like sometimes those are lacking areas of my life. And so I wanted to bring Sean on because it's not like Sean's life has been perfect. I mean, if you guys we'll hopefully get a chance to read Tom's book, you'll hear a little bit of his story.
Chapter two.
It's been, I mean, it's far from that, but yet, despite all the things that has happened in your life, Sean, you've somehow figured out a way to fill yourself with that joy and to do it consistently. Like, it's one thing to amp yourself up for a retreat or a big event, but you're just who you are every single day, and you bring the positive energy. And so just wanted to share, you to share with the guys, what is it that helps you maintain a positive attitude day in, day out?
Wow. Thank you, Marvin. Those words are very moving. And you know, I'm not always been the most positive person in the room. I actually was very angry for a lot of years. But that's another story we can talk about on a different podcast.
Chapter 3.
Yeah. For me, it's got to be practical. I had to make it practical in order for it to work for me. It's something that I have to just naturally plug into my day. And it's funny because, George, when you were talking about finances, one of the things that you were talking about, short-term saving, it's about commitment. It's about committing to giving this amount of money so that you can save for the short term. And I believe, truthfully, our attitudes is exactly that. It's about commitment. For me, the Bible talks about altars, and God says, you know, you set up an altar so that you can remember. An altar in the Bible always represented a place of consecration, a place set aside, built to commemorate an encounter with God that had a profound impact on someone. And so for me, it was always about, I needed to have an altar, something that I could look to remember on a daily basis. So the first thing that I try to do is I try to wake up every morning and find something to be thankful for. And before I get out of bed, I start my day with a thankful attitude. It helps me to be able to have and start to have that attitude of gratefulness, that attitude of joy, that attitude of, okay, let's face the day. Another thing based on altars was we set up what's called a box of blessings in our house. Mm-hmm. And I save probably at a ridiculous amount, but anytime someone writes me a note, anytime someone says a kind word to me, anytime I am experiencing something, God's hand at work in something, I write it down and we put it in this box. And then usually around Thanksgiving time, we as a family will open this box.
That's
and
great.
We begin to read through. And there are things that are in there from, my oldest son is 25. There are things that are in there from when he was 6.
Wow.
There are things that are in there from, you know, the times in my life when I broke my wrist. That's another story for another podcast. But there was a group of men that just rallied around us and helped to support my family and I. And those are things that just, years go by and you begin to forget those things. And so it's just great to have that at your fingertips to be able to read it and remember it. Another thing that I do is I keep, this iPhone is fantastic in the way that it helps to organize your life, but it also, I keep on their statements and quotes. So anytime I'm moved by a statement, a movie, a book, a Bible verse, someone calls me out of the blue and sends me, you know, a text message or, you know, just anything, I'll save it in there. And so then on days when I'm having a rough day or on days when I'm not, you know, having the most grateful attitude, I'll just go through and read it. And right now it's like 6 pages long. And I just keep throwing stuff in it.
And what are some of those things on there? Like Rudy quotes or
A lot of Bible it is quotes. Like, a lot of it is Lord of the Rings quotes.
Okay.
Like Samwise's yeah. quote about
the things
still,
that speak
there's
to
still
you,
some,
right?
There's still some good in this world and it's worth fighting for. Mm. So when I'm discouraged by the news, when I'm discouraged by the things that I hear, when I'm discouraged by what people are struggling with, I read that and it's like, there's good.
So it's things that are significant to you,
yes.
Whether it be Lord of the Rings,
powerful,
or whether
meaningful.
the new Spider-Man movie or whatever.
Yeah, know. Parables that God has revealed to me what the meaning of those parables are. I'll write it down because I forget.
Yeah.
My brain doesn't work as well as many others. I come up with all kinds of crazy words like aggressivity and that kind of stuff. So I need to
I'm
write it down.
I'm experiencing aggressivity in my life. I need your positive energy.
I need to write it down so that I remember.
You're experiencing it right now.
So that's a big part of it. One and the last thing I will say too is, in Mark 4, Jesus was talking about the parable of the seeds, and there's a moment in that parable where he says, watch what you listen to. And that stood out to me. It's always stood out to me, because if I were to read the news every day, I would walk around depressed every day. If I were to pay attention to all the negative things that are around me, I would be negative all the time. So I guard myself. I only allow myself to read the news once a week. I will pick up news, but I only spend time in the news once a week. And the reason I do that is just because it helps me, the emotional me, not spin out of control.
Okay. And so, I mean, like, you can obviously put some boundaries on some of that stuff, but some of that stuff is unavoidable.
Right.
Right. So what do you do when you're driving and there's a billboard or something comes on the radio that you weren't planning on listening to, but it gets to you anyway because it happens? How do you guard your heart, or how do you change your mindset in that moment?
I mean, the biggest thing is scripture. I had there, so drive on the road. You know, I get angry at people on the road. That's probably the place where I struggle the most. And a good friend of mine, Andy Pedrosian, who comes to CA, the guy spends so many hours on the road. And he gave me some great advice. He said, Sean, whenever someone or something like that happens to me, he goes, I pray for them. I immediately turn off my radio or turn off whatever I'm listening to, and I pray for them. I pray for their family, I pray for their history, I pray for their future, or the same thing. And what it does is prayer changes us. It changes our mindset so that we begin to see people or see that situation as God sees that situation. And it totally changes me, and it works. It works.
That's great.
Yeah, it's hard to be angry at someone when you're praying for them.
100%. Right?
So guys, you guys around the table, anything that Sean said resonated, or what are some of the things that you guys look to try to implement in your own lives? I mean, that blessing box was such a powerful idea. I mean, I think I want to start doing that with my family. But what are some of the things that you guys do to try to cultivate a positive attitude?
For me, it's and these are really helpful, Sean. It's just kind of perspective, just the way I look at life, just truly how blessed, you know, my life is. So even if there's a challenge, I don't say to myself initially, like, why me? I'll think, use me. And God, not why me, but use me.
This is what got you into that email that Marvin sent you.
Marvin.
Because Glenn Jarrett.
Use me.
First reaction is like,
not why me? Use me, Glenn.
Let me just verify. Use me.
And then I felt, I let go of the aggressivity that was part of my emotion.
Wow.
This is what made you so gullible. Wow.
I'm not gonna let this one down.
But it's now gonna be learning. The other thing is, I think whenever, you know, with my youngest son, because I don't have the same energy that I used to, when he wants to do something and maybe I don't want to and I don't have the greatest attitude, I try to remind myself, instead of thinking I have to do this, I get to do this.
Yes.
You know, God, you bless me with him. He's a gift from you. You allow me to be his dad, not someone else. So get off your butt. You know, go outside and play or whatever it is he wants to do.
It's a commitment.
I have to do this. No, I get to do this. I get to spend 20 minutes, whatever, doing this. So
that's great.
Robert, anything that you do consistently that helps you?
I think one of the things that Sean touched on is gratitude. And I think that's a big key for me, is to always be grateful for what I have, because that then triggers the positivity, the blessing, the attitude of, Ralph calls it the attitude of gratitude.
Yep.
Right.
And if you have that constantly and you understand you're blessed, I am blessed, it's hard not to be positive. Not to the point where, you know, I want to compare myself to others, but more like, what did I receive from God? What do I really have? And beyond the material things, of course, those are the things that really, once you stop and reflect on it, you can't help but be positive, because, you know, you could be the other side of that coin, where you're hopeless, depressed, and you see that in today's world.
Yeah.
And a lot of things trigger different people. A lot of things, simple things, especially, I don't want to say millennials, but there's a lot of things that get people down.
Yes.
That, to me, doesn't really mean much. But, and yet, they're legitimate concerns.
Yes.
And as pastors, I'm sure we run into that during our counseling.
Sure.
And then it's just, you know, again, the only thing I say is be grateful for what you have.
Yeah.
And count your blessings.
So to summarize, the guys that are listening, here's some practical things that you can do. Sean talked about having a family blessing box. What a powerful idea that is, if you can write down encouraging words or encouraging stories and then open them at key moments throughout your family.
That's
create rituals around that, like at Thanksgiving time.
Definitely.
You talked about praying in the middle of adverse circumstance. You talk about praying, you know, while you're on the road and you get road rage, pray immediately for that person. So if you're having trouble at work, if you if you know the stock market took a dip,
why are you looking at me?
You have a tough coworker. I see how often you check
your phone on the stock report there.
Trade sanctions.
Yeah, but anyway, the point is to pray through those things. That would be your first response.
Yeah.
You talked about guarding your intake, and I think that's so important. So careful what you allow things to come into.
Yes, there are things that you just can't unsee.
Right. So whether it be news, websites, even YouTube videos and stuff, you think they're harmless. And they're subtle and they penetrate into our hearts and they rob us of our joy, and that's really what they come to do. The Bible is clear that the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy, and that's what he wants to do. And he'll use those media, and it's a real thing that we struggle with. Is there anything else you talked about? Gratitude, Robert. Maintaining a positive attitude, and of course having scripture and positive words always be a part of.
Put them at your fingertips. Yeah, write them on your doorpost.
Tom likes to say that words create worlds, and that's so true. The words that we fill ourselves with will create the world that we live in.
Yeah,
and the people you surround yourself with, that is most important, I think. And if you have positive people, your life group people, just your friends altogether. You know, the guys that you hang out with
shape your
your
views.
Absolutely.
Because
they influence you the most.
Well, I'd like to thank all of you guys. We're at the 45-minute mark, so hopefully somebody's still listening to us now, because this was really good stuff here at the end. So hopefully they got past through some of the aggressivity of the beginning. Sean, thanks so much for coming on.
Hey, Sean.
It's awesome to have you, buddy.
Robert, thanks for coming on time. And to the rest of you guys.
Again, the aggressivity is...
We will see you next time.
Be blessed, brothers. Be blessed.
All right.